Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I am still so proud of my son, Victor, because today was his first day of drumming at the 9 a.m. service. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's certainly worth a shout, isn't it? I said that he's in good pedigree, falling in the ranks of so many others who've like sort of drums before him. Indeed, yeah. Pastor Paul. Toby. Where's Toby Balogun? Yep. Indeed, yeah. Alex. Reflex is still drumming for us. Amen. Bolu as well. Yeah. Benji. I think Benji did some drumming, didn't he, as well? Kevin as well. So praise God. You know, God is good. God is raising up a generation. Amen. And we're just going, Bible says, from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And so it's just wonderful to see. So that's my little daddy plug for him there, that, you know, he's doing great. Hallelujah. How many enjoyed last Sunday? Absolutely awesome. With Pastor Bob, you know, and Pio Kofi just coming ministering the word. I love the way Pastor Paul said. He said it's like he just dumps a whole load of stuff. And you can spend weeks, months, you know, just chewing, just unpacking what he's brought and what he's deposited in our hearts. And so, you know, this morning I want to share a little bit about what God's been just highlighting or spotlighting in my own heart from what he shared last Sunday. And I just want to minister that to us today. And I know that God is going to do a great work within each one of us, because it's so rich, such a rich deposit. And, you know, sometimes it's like, even though you've heard certain things before, but how many know that you get more revelation even from the same scripture that you've heard before? You know, I remember a story that Keith Moore was sharing about how he heard something that Dad Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, had said years ago. And he thought, wow, that's a good word. And then, you know, he was watching a videotape of the meeting. And he said there, the camera panned across the audience. And then he saw himself right on the front row. And he thought, oh, gosh. So he was actually in the meeting, but he didn't realize that he had actually heard that same word before. And so really, revelation is progressive. Amen? And God takes us from glory to glory, from strength to strength. So God is always, someone said it's like the onion. As you peel it, guess what? There's another layer. And then you peel that layer, and then there's another layer. And so God is always giving us revelation progressively. And God is always taking us deeper and deeper into the truths that are in his word. Can you say amen? Amen? And so, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, just began to emphasize and just began to spotlight some key scriptures to my heart, you know, as Pastor Bob was ministering last week. And one of the things, you know, popular psalm that we know all the time is the 23rd Psalm and the 5th verse. Psalm 23 and verse 5. I want us to start there. You know, we're going somewhere. Turn to them and say, we're going somewhere today. Okay. So Psalm 23 and verse 5, and it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I just want to pause there. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So this is the psalmist David speaking here, and he's speaking about the Lord preparing a table in the very presence of his enemies. How many remember hearing that last week? And he said that enemies are important, aren't they? So God prepares them right in the very presence. So the enemies don't go away, but right in their presence. How many know that God isn't nervous? You know, God isn't embarrassed or intimidated by enemies. Amen. Our God is a big God. So right in the very presence of his enemies, there's God preparing a table, setting a banquet for his children, right in the very presence of his enemies. And God began to speak to my heart about that. And I began to say, so what's the purpose? What's the use or the benefit of an enemy? Amen. You know, and God gave me some pictures. I'm going to share those pictures with you today. But it's like, you know, the first picture is like, you know, being in a ring. And I'm talking about a boxing ring now. Okay? And so you could say that the other person, you know, your opponent, you know, is your enemy. And you're in the ring, you know, for the big fight. Yeah? Can everybody relate to that? Yeah. And right there, God's preparing, you know, a banquet and a banquet table in front of him. But I want us to see some things. You know, God took me back. And I just began to look in the book of Judges. And there's a statement there that God just brought to my remembrance once again. So Judges chapter 3, and we're just going to look at the first two verses. And this really is the crux of our message this morning. It says, "Now these are the nations which the Lord left that he might test Israel by them." These are the nations which the Lord left. So these are the nations, some of the enemies of Israel. But the Bible said the Lord left them. And there was a purpose to God leaving these enemy nations still. Okay? And it said that he might test Israel by them. That he might test Israel through these enemy nations still being there. You know, it's like Paul spoke about a thorn in his side. You know, he said the messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, that sometimes the challenges and the struggles and the tough things in our lives are there for a reason. God wants to bring something out of it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That he might test them. So turn to your neighbor and say, no test,
no test.
No testimony.
No testimony.
So God wants to bring out a testimony from your life. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we don't learn when things are easy. We don't learn in the easy type of situations, but we do learn in the tough times. You know, somebody put it this way. He said, when the going gets tough, then the tough gets going. Amen? So there are lessons that we learn in the tough times that we don't learn or we don't have an opportunity to experience in the difficult times. In the easy times. And so God wants us to learn some things. I want to look at another translation of this. So if you can give me the amplified version, please, of that same scripture. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. That's another word there, to prove. So not just to test, but to prove them. And I always think of that scripture that it says that, you know, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's, you know, that you might prove it. You know, to prove something, to prove it that it's true. You know, how do you know God is your deliverer if he's never delivered you from anything? Amen? How do you know that God is your healer if you've never been healed of anything? You see, in those scenarios, it's just theory. It's mental assent or a mental acknowledgement. But if you've been through some stuff and you've come out the other end, then you can look back and truly testify and say, the Lord is good. Amen. Can anyone testify that the Lord is good? Because you've been through some stuff. You know, to some extent or the other, we've all been through different kinds of stuff because everybody goes through stuff. Amen. You know, and I've been through some stuff in my life personally. Lots of stuff, actually. But, you know, God has always proved faithful. Amen? Because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the goodness and for the grace and for the mercy of God. Can we give God praise? Amen. So God is so faithful, you know, every single time. And it says there, so to prove Israel by them, that is all who had not previously experienced war in Canaan. And this is the point here. See, God wanted those enemies of Israel to teach them how to fight. That's why they were still left in the ring with him. You know, Keith Moore said that, you know, he came from a background of sport fighting. And he had this philosophy or this thought process that anyone who is put in front of him in the ring, I can beat him. He said, that's the mentality that he always had. If he's in the ring with me, then I can lick him. I can beat him. You see, if it's in the ring with you, you can beat it. Can you say amen? The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Bible says, God will not allow anything, okay, that is beyond your ability to beat or to whoop, okay, to be in that ring with you. So if it's there with you, it means that you have the upper hand and that you can beat it and you can defeat it. Can you say amen? So it was all people who hadn't experienced war, and God wanted to give them a taste of things to come. You know, sometimes in the boxing arena, how many know that what a sparring partner is? And so your sparring partner helps you get ready for the real stuff, amen? And so, you know, we know in the fight, people have sparring partners. So that's, they're practicing, you know, they're rehearsing. And so, you know, it's like they're shadow boxing and stuff. You know, well, actually, they're not just shadow boxing. They're landing real punches. But it's to toughen them up because they're preparing for the big fight. And sometimes even boxers go through lots of small fights building up to the big fight. Amen. Yeah, we can all understand, you know, that concept. And so there's a process of preparation. There's a process by which we get ready for the real thing. And I believe that God wants to prepare us for the things to come. Can you say amen? No, this is our year of expansion. And so there are enemies in the camp that would seek to keep us small. See, the devil's plan is to keep us contained and constrained. But God says, lengthen your cords. Right. Amen. God says, strengthen your stakes. Yeah. God says, extend, stretch to the left and to the right. And God says to us to possess the land. So that means the car park. How many know the car park is part of our land? Amen? Absolutely. We're going to possess that, you know, to the ends of the estate. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But we find ourselves in situations where we've been told that these places or parts of this are not accessible to us. We have to leave and we're pushed out and stuff. But you know, God says the earth is his. And so we're in a situation of conflict, if you like, of confrontation. But we're going to prove the word of God is true. We're going to prove that what's ours is ours. Can you say amen? Give God praise. And so God is on the move. So the Israelites were in this situation because God wanted them to experience, to gain the experience of some stuff that they hadn't experienced before. Let's look at the second verse. And it says, it was only that the generations of the Israelites that they might know, okay, and be taught war. At least those who had previously, who previously knew nothing of it. So that they might know, that they might gain the experience, okay, of war. Now, as I look back in the scriptures, you can see, everyone knows the story of Joshua and Jericho. Yeah, the Bible says, you know, Joshua and Caleb, you see, they were two of the 12 spies that were originally sent out to spy out the land of Canaan back in the day. Everyone remember that? And what happened? When they came back, 10 spies says, look, this task is impossible. We can't do it. Yeah? There are giants in the land. There are people who are so big and huge that we can't defeat them. It's an impossible task. This is a disastrous mission, and we can't take this. And that was the report that they brought back to Moses. But the Bible says that Joshua and Caleb, who the Bible says had a different spirit, they came back and they brought a different report. They brought back a good report. They said that we are well able. In fact, they said, let us go up at once and take the land because we are well able to do it. And so there were two conflicting reports there. But that was right where the training of the Israelites really began. And so there was a whole generation there that the Bible says God let them waste in the wilderness. That they took 40 years wandering round and round in the wilderness because of unbelief. So it robbed them of the victory that belonged to them. Amen? Say, that's not my portion in Jesus' name. Amen. And so God wants us to be people who are full of faith and full of courage and who know that they are well able to take the land. Amen. The Bible says about Jericho, that Jericho was tightly shut up. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1 there. It's that the city of Jericho right then, back in the day, it was tightly shut up. Yeah? And this was an impregnable fortress that they had to go and take. But you know, to paraphrase that, we're not going to go through the whole story, but we know how the story goes. That basically, they marched round the city. How many times? How many times did they march round? Seven times. And the final time, what were they told to do? They were told to shout, and the Bible said the walls of that city that was tightly shut up came crashing down. And so, you know, they took that city. But I want us to just analyze that. But, you know, the story really started way before that. If we back up to Joshua chapter 3, we'll see how it started. Because I want us to just see the caliber of person that Joshua and Caleb were. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. Joshua 3 and verse 5. It says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. That is, separate yourselves for a special holy purpose. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So even before they went to the city, Joshua was looking ahead. Joshua was doing something, and God was speaking to him about a strategy to take the land. He said, sanctify yourselves today. You know, I'd like to put it this way, that sanctify yourselves today for what God is about to do tomorrow. Amen. I said, sanctify yourselves today for what God is about to do tomorrow. Amen. So there's a process. So they didn't just go up and then just march around, but there was a divine direction that God was feeding into Joshua's life. God was giving him divine strategies here. Divine strategy of how to conquer and of how to win. And these divine strategies are the same for us today. Can you say amen? Amen. And if we skip down to the 9th verse as well, it says, Joshua said to the Israelites, come near and hear the words of the Lord your God. Come and hear the words of the Lord your God. And so there is a divine strategy that we have to hear the voice of God. Amen. You know, so often, you know, we have the half nights and the all nights, and all the half nights and the all nighters said, amen. Amen. I want to encourage you. Come and laugh there. I want to encourage you, if you don't come to the half nights or to the all nights, that you need to come. You need to come and hear the voice of God. You need to come and hear the voice of divine. You know, they're very different from the normal Sunday service or from the prayer meetings. You know, there we do some serious business. You know, that's the engine room of the church, where we pray, where we press into heaven to pull down heaven's mission and to get heaven's word and strategy for us as a church. Amen? And so it's so key and it's so important. I want us to take this from the life of Joshua here, that he was tuned up and he was connected to God. And so God was able to speak to that and say, tell the people to sanctify themselves today, because God is going to do great wonders among them tomorrow. And so if we don't hear God, if we're not clearly receiving from him, we miss out on divine strategies. If we don't hear from him, we continue to go round and round the same circles. If we don't hear from him, we continue to dwell on this same mountain, stuck in a rut in the same place over and over and over again. But if we hear from God, then God is able to speak to us and give us divine strategies. You know, Ephesians says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. How many know that prayer is a weapon? Prayer is one of our awesome weapons. The Bible says, speaks about praying, and praying with all manner or all kinds of prayer. Amen. I said praying with all manner or all kinds of prayer. And so as we come to these meetings and we begin to engage in prayer and we begin to stretch and expand in our hearts, in our inner man, then we begin to catch glimpses of what God wants to do for us as a church. Can you say amen? Amen. And God's plan is to take us, okay, he's saying launch out into the deep. Because God wants to take us further than where we are right now. Amen? So God wants us to break our natural boundaries in order to expand and to lay hold of that. The Bible says, for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And so God has laid hold of us for a purpose. But we'll never truly fulfill that purpose unless we catch the revelation of what it is that God has laid hold of us for. We can also see in that story there of Joshua, going back to Joshua again, chapter 3, and look at verse 15 to 17. And God just flagged this up to me as well. It says, and when those who bore the ark had come to the Jordan, okay, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were on the brink of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks, okay, through the time of harvest, 16. It says, the waters which came down from above stood up and rose, sorry, stood and rose up, okay, in a heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zeratan. And those falling, and those flowing down towards the sea of Arabah, the salt, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho on dry land. What I wanted us to see there is the supernatural there. The supernatural. Okay, the verse 17 as well. And it says, and while all Israel passed over on dry ground, says the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground, okay, in the midst of the Jordan, until all the nations, okay, finished passing over the Jordan. But the supernatural, see, the supernatural power of God became manifested. As they obeyed and followed what God said, the supernatural came to play. How many want to see the supernatural? You know, we're supernatural beings. That's who we are. That's in our DNA. And we believe that. You know, we believe this stuff. Does God still do miracles today?
Yes.
Does God still heal the sick today?
Yes.
Does God still deliver people today?
Yes.
Well, the Bible says that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've got to prove it. We are the proof producers. Amen? The Bible says we are in the earth for such a time as this. We are in Wembley for such a time as this. So there's a divine purpose to us being here. But if we don't catch a revelation of it, we'll continue to stand in the same place. You know, and God will speak to you about generational blessing. You know, how many heard Pastor Bob speak about the generational blessing? He spoke about how in the schools, probably, you know, in our generation, you know, people that used to fight with their fists, he was saying, and I took the point. I said, people have scuffs in the playgrounds and push each other and get into all those kind of things. But now it's like people have knives. People have guns. Taking to school, you know, teachers are being shot in schools right now. People have assault weapons in the school. But, you know, that's the challenges are so different in this generation right now. And we, as parents, as the fathers and mothers of the next generation, we have a responsibility, amen? We have a responsibility to pray. We have a responsibility to storm the heavens on their behalf. You know, Paul was able to say to his disciples, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? He said, can you say to your disciples, follow me as I follow Christ? Can you say to our children, follow me as I follow Christ? See, we need to prove the word of God to be true in our own lives first, and then we can show them that the way to follow. Can you say amen? I said, we need to prove it. We need to prove that God's word is true. Amen? The challenges are so different, and I was just listening to a few of them. You know, drugs, their battles are different. Drugs is a real issue. Knife crime, guns, alcohol, peer pressure. All these things, you know, peer pressure, it sounds simple, but, you know, it's a real challenge for our young ones. They're under pressure from their peers to conform. You know, when we say pressure, it speaks about applying a force. You know, and there are spiritual forces at play. Spiritual pressures leading them in the wrong direction. But we have to stand in the gap and wage war.
Right.
So we have to stand and wage war on their behalf. Amen?
Yes.
So unless we rise up as Joshua did. You know, I remember Caleb saying, give me this mountain. Give me my mountain. And he was saying that at the age of 80. At the age of, he was still taking territories. He was still taking mountains. He was still possessing the land in his ripe old age. What about you? What about me? You see, we're not planning to retire. We're planning to refire. Amen? I said, we're not planning to retire. We're planning to refire. To rekindle the fire. To rekindle the fire on the inside that God has set up on the inside of us. You know, there's a fire shut up in our bones. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Right.
You know, it becomes almost a cliche, but we said that the only fire we are expecting is the Holy Ghost fire on the inside of us. the fire to do God's word, the fire that is shut up in our bones. And so I want to encourage us this morning to know that we are more than conquerors, that God has given us the victory. You know, I was so proud of my son, you know, and he was speaking about, we were driving down in the car yesterday, and he said, you know, Dad, he said, in school, he said, I like drumming, but, because he has drumming lessons in school, and he said, in school, I like drumming for like the concerts and the occasion and the functions. He said, because drumming in just doing the normal stuff, like for mass, is just so boring and it's so slow. And he said, he's a funny guy. And he said that, you know, I like drumming because he said, they teach us music. And so he learns to read music and he knows the notes to drum, et cetera, et cetera. And then he said, in church, he says, we don't have like the notes, so it's not scripted, but you can actually apply what you've learned. He said, you can be creative. You can put your own style and your own flavor to it. Amen? And he said, I like that, Dad. I said, wow, well done, son. That is great. But you see, he's caught something there. He's caught something there. I can see him growing. You know, he came to the front today, you know, and Pastor Paul leaned over and said, what are you feeding this guy? He's bigger than you. Someone else came to him, I said, he's bigger. I said, yeah. I said, that's our prayer, that our ceiling should be their floor, that where we stop is where they will go on from. Amen? Because the direction of travel is always upwards and onwards. God really wants to do more and more through us and for us, particularly in our next generation. So I want to encourage every single person here today under the sound of my voice that we need to pray for our children, that we need to pray for the next generation. We need to declare the word of God over them every single day. We need to declare that they are well able. We need to declare that they are more than conquerors. We need to declare that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them, that they're always going from glory to glory. Shall we stand to our feet this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Why don't we just, right now, just in the presence of God, can I have somebody on the keyboard? You know, God is birthing something in the next generation. You know, the Bible speaks about after they wandered in the wilderness, all the people who didn't believe were killed off. They died in the wilderness. They died without seeing the promise. They never entered into the promised land. But I believe that, and I know that I'm speaking to people who are ready to possess their possession, who are ready to enter into what God has prepared for each and every one of us. You know, the Bible says, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. Neither has it even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. No, and I'm looking at people who love God here today. People who are hungry for the things of God. You know, Pastor Bob deposited a great word for us. And we need to do something with that word. Pastor Paul encouraged all of us in his cell to just go and listen to that word again. And as I listened to that word, God began to just open up new things to me in my heart. I know that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even dare to imagine. But it starts with us right here today. It starts with us right now acting and stepping out on the word of God. Knowing that we can do what God's word says that we can do. Whether it's in your place of business, whether it's in your place at home where you live. If you're a father, if you're a mother, you're the example to your kids. I'm the example to my kids and to my family. Whether it's in your neighborhood, in your community, can others see Christ in you? See, God doesn't want us to just talk about Christ, but he wants us to be Christ. The Bible says the word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. Now let the Christ in you come out. Let the Christ in you shine. The Bible says so that men might see. You'll not just hear about them, but see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for your word this morning, this afternoon. Father, we thank you, Lord, because the entrance of your word into our hearts gives light and understanding. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, because this is the generation of those who seek you. Father, today we humble ourselves. Father, we yield ourselves to you and say, Lord, use us. Father, use us for your glory, Lord. Let your glory shine through us, Father. Do, Lord God, amazing things, Lord, in each one of our lives. Lord, you have called us salt and light in the earth. Lord, that our lights would so shine that men would see our good works and give glory to you, our Father who is in heaven. Father, we bless you today. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor in Jesus' precious name. And his people said, amen.